WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Dollar, dollar, dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling, cut the chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling, patting pockets. We take the dollar, dollar, can a damn soul stop it? Here comes the new kid on the block. Hold on, your bets, here's where the buck stops. See, first of all, I'm stepping out on my own. About time I elevated the claim.
It's Sunday night, and you know that, means it's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com. Twitch.tv/WTR Live. If you'd like an ad-free experience, all you have to do is link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit card Rockin' Second to 49. Shop Christmas hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin'. Joined, as always, by the intern, Kane Kittens. Who's muted? Cool. And back after, like...
Damn it. I'm here, All I said was, hey, we still have our requisite 1.5 Canadians for tonight.
We do, because after a very long absence, the one and only Keishi Matsunaga is back.
Yeah, happy Hollow Chocolate Bunny Day.
Hey!
The ice is melted, I have finished hurrying hard. And I'm here on a semi-regular basis.
Yay! Keishi's back. And there is no Tim. Tim's not here tonight.
He's building a fence?
He's under the weather.
Oh.
Apparently he's very under the weather, so he will not be joining us here tonight.
Like, one of the nicest days we've had in 3 months, and of course he's got to be under it.
Yeah, he's been under it for a couple days, apparently. So.
Well, get well soon, Tim.
There you go. But we have stuff to get into. We have a list of things that I quickly came up with just a little bit ago.
That we roughly discussed.
We have an idea. We're going to try to adventure through those topics and stuff. Ash, I don't know. He it's Tim. So tweet him at Flames Forums. Wish him well. I don't know what he's got.
Send him pictures of llamas. You heard that. Just send him random pictures of llamas.
A llama. I wonder what's inside. Anyway, we got many things to discuss, including the first topic we're going to get into, and it's the news that broke 1 week ago today, and it was made official on Monday. WWE and Endeavor have agreed to merge the UFC and WWE together to become one publicly traded company under the stock market initials TKO. In which Endeavor will be 51%, while WWE would be 49%.
I'm just waiting for Kevin Owens to make some kind of link to that. When he goes heel again, he's absolutely going to... It's the KO company.
It's the KO, KO company. With all that said, Vince McMahon is once again and will continue to be the executive chairman of this brand new company. He will, however, have to answer to Ari Emanuel and the rest of the board because WWE has 5 seats. While Endeavor has 6 seats on the board. WWE will be valued at 9.3. UFC is 12 point something. So you got a $21 billion.
Oh, so he can't finagle his way back in if he gets voted out a second time around?
That seems to be the idea, right, Brent?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of...
You say that so confidently.
Well, the thing is like, I've heard different kind of things. So... I've heard some people saying that, like, the first chance that Endeavor will have to vote him out, they will. And I've also heard that it's like, no, Vince is only doing this deal so that he can protect himself in order to, like, if they try to vote him out because they have enough seats and everything, that he's still insured. So it's one of those where it's just like, oh, God damn it, Vince did this so he can... That being said, hopefully it's just like in chairman only and not getting his hands in as much as he was before with other aspects.
You mean he's not going to be in the weeds, as he says?
Look, I understand Monday was the ultimate dick flex.
Oh, it was 100%. So for those who don't know what happened on Monday, Vince McMahon rolled up after the talent meeting and went, ha, let me see the script, pal, and decided, nope, I don't like this, I don't like that, we're going to remove that, we're going to make some changes. You know who I like to see? I like to see Omos in action, so I'm putting him in the ring. And made some changes throughout the show and ripped up scripts and changed things around. And very last minute. God, pissed a lot of the talent off, to say the least. Friday was more calm. He made a couple of changes from remote, but he was not in the building for SmackDown. Will he be in Seattle tomorrow? Time will only tell.
See, the big thing is, though, that when it came out that Vince had control, when it came out that Vince had ripped up the script and taken, you know, like, we'll, F it, we'll do it live. You started to see the groundswell hit amongst the fans. And it was this, it was the, no, no, oh no, we're not doing this again. And so you saw, like, fire Vince trending. You saw, you know, you heard.
You heard it.
You heard rumblings, yeah. All of that stuff. And now, Vince isn't as protected. Even though he may have some insurances, you have to remember, he's now merged with another company, and the other company does have the say. They have the extra seat. So if shit starts to go sideways, Endeavor will want to protect its investment. Endeavor will want to go, well, we can't have people leaving in flocks because of Vince. So when that happens, they're easily could be a change that comes along because the WWE isn't on its own anymore. That's the important thing about this whole merger is like when Vince wanted to step down, they're publicly traded, but at the same time, Vince was in charge. And now Vince has to answer to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have an interest in putting out the best product. And if Vince is tearing stuff up and being like, I know what's better, and you're getting that fan reaction, and let's say ratings drop, all of a sudden, they're going to go to Vince and be like, hey, you need to cut this shit out.
And the one thing that happened Monday was that talent felt lied to. And that was the crux of it all.
Oh, that's absolutely.
100%.
They were lied to because they had a 6 o'clock meeting that says, Paul Levesque's still in charge. 7 o'clock, Vince McMahon has a headset on and changing scripts. Like, that's where it got to.
I heard someone say it jokingly, but honest to God, it could... It seems like a very Vince thing to do.
Oh, the seat power play?
Yeah, it was... Yeah. How did Monday Night Raw start?
Hunter.
With Hunter out in front of camera. Why? So Vince could sit in Gorilla, so he could take Hunter's chair.
Yeah. And I mentioned on Thursday, that's such a, like, it's probably not true, but what if it was?
If it was, doesn't that seem like a fucking Vince McMahon play?
Yeah, 100%.
It would be something, and I mean, for lack of a better word, it would be something so petty of like, you know what, you should go out there and tell the fans all of this stuff, and as soon as he gets up, it's just Vince sitting right next to Bruce with a headset going,
I'm just going to sit here for a minute. I'm just going to take a load off for a minute. I'll get up in a second.
I'm old. I'm a little tired.
Well,
let me
while Paul's out there, I just need to rest my feet.
And then, Paul's back. Oh, Paul, just sit next to Bruce on the other side. It's fine. I don't feel like getting up at the moment. Just hold on. Yeah.
5 more minutes.
Yeah, 5 more minutes. I'm good. Yeah. Then
next commercial break. I'll get up.
Yeah. 3 hours later, show's over. I guess I gotta go. Plane's ready.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
I gotta get to Seattle. I mean,
So, and what we just said, none of that's, we don't know if that's actually true. That's just,
that's us riffing.
Yeah. But now what does this mean for the company going forward? Are we okay with Vince gardening again a little?
The problem is we've seen what happens when Vince left and we liked it. Like, we were getting storylines that we were like, hey, this is kind of new. This is different.
Not everything's been great.
Not everything had to be great. It's just some stuff, you know, thrown against the wall didn't quite work out that well. I'm looking at you, Hit Row. and your awful, awful over-the-top rope, plancha. But at least it was trying some new things. At least it was allowing people a chance and a way to grow. You know, giving Ricochet some time. Giving Braun another chance. Hell, bringing Bray back.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this is, you know, no offense, Karrion on his first run didn't really get a good shot. He came out, or, you know, they kind of sabotaged him from the beginning, and they put him in a fucking gladiator costume and took away every little bit of semblance that he had that made him unique.
Mm-hmm.
And is his second run going infinitely better? No, but at least it was like, okay, we're going to give him the entrance. We're going to give him Scarlet. We're going to give him, you know, the ability to perform, which he didn't have before because his first match was a 2-minute squash against Jeff Hardy that ended in a roll up. But at least it was giving it a shot. At least it's, you know, using tag teams instead of, okay, this is going to be the piss break match and we're just going to throw random people together. I mean, hell, look at WrestleMania. One of the matches that we talked about that was a real standout was the WrestleMania showcase, the four team tag team.
Yep.
And they all got a chance to shine. They all laid it out there and it made you want to go like on the next night or on the next Friday. Like, I want to see these guys again. I want to see them battle or fight against some other people, because now I just got a taste of what all they can do. That's what we've gotten.
Let alone having a tag team title match headline one night of WrestleMania, which we all know Vince's views on tag teams.
Yeah. Well, and even like how, because I feel like if Vince had been in charge, or if Vince was truly in charge, the main event would have been Charlotte versus Rhea. And the match may have gone a little bit differently in terms of the storytelling. I think you still probably would have gotten the same result. But if Vince was there, I think he would have put the girls out there. And because also, I think it would have been, you know, hey, Flair in the main event. That's a main event, or that's a WrestleMania kind of thing.
Yeah.
And instead, you went with the story. You went with the emotion. You went with a tag match where, as we talked about last week, over, what, half to two-thirds of it was a squash involving Sami Zayn getting beat up. But it worked towards telling the big story of Sami and Jay and Kevin being, you know, the hot tag. All of it just worked.
It was storytelling at its finest. You brought up Flair in the main event. Did you see what Ric Flair said about the main event of WrestleMania Night 1?
It should have been Charlotte. That's tradition.
How it's tradition. Please enlighten me on what the tradition is of the Day 1 of WrestleMania. Who made it?
There is no tradition of Day 1 of WrestleMania, but I will say it was one of the points I brought up a couple of weeks ago when we were talking like what could main event Night 1, and I was saying hey, your Royal Rumble winner could get the shine of being in the main event. Yeah. I think that's a little bit what he was tying towards, but also it was, hey, I want my daughter to be in the prime spot.
But when is the tradition that the women main event night one? Please, I would like to know the factual information on this.
Well, you see, WrestleMania, was it 35?
WrestleMania 35, the girls main evented the entire show.
That was the start of tradition, Rock.
That's the start of tradition. Okay, then 36 was Pandemic Mania, and night one was closed with, I believe that was a guy named Undertaker and AJ Styles.
Neither of which won the Royal Rumble.
Neither won the Royal Rumble.
I mean, to be fair, AJ's hair could... No, I'm kidding.
Or female. Then there was 30. Yep. Then there was 37. Okay, Sasha and Bianca. Sasha and Bianca, right? Night one. Who main evented last year? Anyone have a guess? Oh, Steve Austin
and Kevin Owens
in a talking segment.
So 50% of the time,
it was a match, Rock.
But tradition.
I mean, to be fair, if you want to talk about tradition, it's that Kevin Owens is involved.
Kevin Owens has more night one main events. Yes, that is a tradition, unlike any other.
So does that mean that night one truly is the KO show?
It should start to be. Yeah, that's more of a tradition.
Kevin just walks out, you know, for WrestleMania build season, just goes, I know where I'm going to be. Who's fighting me this year? Who am I making famous?
It's not a bad spot. Staying on WrestleMania, because we didn't get Keishi's thoughts, because Keishi wasn't here. Keishi, favorite match of the two nights?
Ooh, man, that is tough. There were a lot of really good matches.
Okay, favorite couple of matches?
I will say, Rhea, Charlotte, and the main event of night one were probably at the top for me. Night one overall, I think, was better, as I echo a lot of people's sentiments. Not that I thought night two was bad per se. It
didn't have the emotional support of night one.
Yeah. And I mean, I also didn't watch night two until like yesterday.
There you go.
Because I was waiting to watch it with my kid for the first time. Like, ever since, I don't know, probably like last fall, my kid's like leaned really hard into wrestling. And so he asked to wait. So we spent part of Wednesday and part of Thursday watching night one. And then part of Friday, part of Saturday watching night two.
Yeah. So
you made it a 4-day experience.
Well, I mean, there's only so much time in the evenings when, you know, your kid's off.
There's only so much attention that a kid has as well.
Well, no, it was just a matter of like, you know, he goes to school and then you got to
get homework and all this other dinner stuff. And all the yada, 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 yada. By that time, yeah, okay, we watch for an hour or two.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I felt I liked night one a little bit better than night two for sure.
So I can get your opinion. Prison Dom.
Prison Dom was amazing.
Thank you.
And I mean, I get why some people may not have liked it, but, like, I'm very much, like, I like the pageantry of professional wrestling. It is definitely something that I enjoy as, like, and, like, the weirdness and, you know, I like everything, but, like, it's wrestling. It can't be serious all the time. And Prison Dom was, like, everything that, it was the perfect, I don't know how you'd, like... You had, like, your, like, serious storyline deal with some of those things, like the Usos, Kevin, Sammy sort of deal with the bloodline and all that, which is a more, quote-unquote, serious storyline. And then you have Dom, who spent 5 minutes in a county lockup saying that he did hard time, and they roll him out in a paddy wagon?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Fantastic.
Like, that is the... total encapsulation of how it's the perfect definition of how wrestling is for everybody. There's something for everybody in wrestling. You can have, you know, comedy stuff and family turmoil sponsored by Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and you could have
Cinemoji a Toast Crunch.
Yeah. And in any case, and then you can have family turmoil at the most like upper echelon of like family over everything else with the bloodline storyline that, you know, is basically some of the best storytelling I've seen come out of the WWE in years.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch something like WrestleMania when it's put together like that, and you can have an 8-year-old kid be super invested in all of it for many different reasons. You can have an adult interested in different reasons. You could have a casual fan interested for different reasons. Like, it was both nights put together was the perfect definition of wrestling, of what wrestling could be for everybody.
And that's what makes it really, really good.
It's the amazing thing of wrestling.
So okay. Did Cody get screwed?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But, like, it's not a hard no. I wouldn't go as far as Cody got screwed in a way that, like, Vincent Hunter never forgets shit he got screwed.
I mean, they put him in a program with Brock Lesnar to follow.
And so who knows how that's going to go.
But Rock, they're just going to bury Cody. They're gonna eventually put him back into the onesie / singlet and have him doing Stardust. We all know that's how it's gonna go.
A lot of people believe that.
I don't.
They're not.
I don't. Do that. There's not. There isn't a chance.
Let's put it this way: if the WWE and Vince McMahon wanted to kill any opportunity they had of signing a free agent, they would do that to Cody. But they're smarter than that.
You mean they don't want to throw away the number one merch t-shirt sales character that they have going right now?
No.
Really?
I know. Kind of a weird thought. I also don't think they want to take someone who left a high-profile position in your competition and want to squander that by just, you know, being petty and burying him so they can teach everyone a lesson about what happens when you leave.
I have a question. How many times did Cody Rhodes win the world title in the other promotion?
That would be zero.
Was he buried there?
Depends on who you ask.
But was he truthfully buried?
The only difference is he was holding the shovel there.
Right. He was holding the shovel there.
That's right, because WrestleMania was payback for the throne.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the fact that when he does win the title, that fucking pop that's going to hit. No.
Yep.
Not anything like that. It's all about Hunter and stroking his ego, and Vince and stroking his ego.
As far as I know, I think Hunter's trying to avoid strokes.
Wow.
Whoa, Cage!
What? Am I wrong?
I mean, he did get rid of a stroke and send it to AEW.
He did. He did. There is no more chosen
one. It's now his world. His world over there.
It is, yeah.
Give that man a title.
No!
I'm kidding.
Put the strap on him. Make him world champ.
Put the rocket under his ass.
That young whippersnapper. Send him to the moon.
Yeehaw!
I mean, now, transitioning, that dude could have a world of problems because AEW was the one who ended up with Jay White. Surprised?
I'm a little surprised.
I'm not.
Not like, oh my god, WWE dropped the ball, surprised. But like...
You mean like the internet?
Yes. I just thought it could have gone either way. So like, I'm not shocked and awed at the fact that Jay White went to AEW. I'm not shocked and awed that he... I wouldn't have been super shocked that he ended up in the WWE. He probably... There's a good chance that they made him offers each, and he went with whichever one he thought would be best for him.
And I think a merger kind of stopped Jay White from signing.
I could see that.
Yeah, also could be.
Because apparently there's an unofficial hiring freeze, because not just because of Vince being back. It's, why bring any other additional assets into the company when we're trying to figure it all out?
That's what I was going to say. When you have mergers like this, when you have companies that are either buying or selling, you don't usually have a lot of acquisitions.
No, usually...
Okay.
It goes the other way around, usually.
Yeah, you don't want to take on extra money because it screws with your value, you know, with your valuation. Instead, you want to be like, okay, let's just manage what we have, keep it at a certain point. In fact, maybe you trim some fat a little bit, you make it a little more lean, and then it's like, okay, now that we have this, let's roll forward.
Yeah, at the very least, they have to kind of evaluate some stuff before they can move forward. That's always what happens when companies merge. So yeah, I mean, sure, Jay White going to AEW. I mean, on a lot of levels, it makes sense. He did some stuff for AEW. So, like, that crowd, if they're only people who watch AEW, they know who Jay White is. It gives him, you know, he gets into that North American market, which is, I'm sure, something that he wanted.
After
he established himself in Japan and did basically everything that he could have done. So why not AEW if, you know, stuff gets held up at WWE?
Well, and also I think the fact of when it comes to AEW, not just the people know him, but you've got that working relationship with New Japan already, where, and I know that he had the whole, like, he'll no longer fight in New Japan.
That doesn't mean he can't fight New Japan wrestlers.
I was gonna say, Forbidden Door's coming up, and I'm pretty sure that is in Canada.
Sure is.
And they're bringing people over, and it's an AEW pay-per-view, so I think that they can work that out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll find a way.
The one thing I will say about Jay White going to AEW is, Keishi, slot him into AEW. Where does he fit?
Right now? I don't know.
Is he going to be a top-tier player?
Not. He doesn't have to be right away.
Because, no offense, his debut coming with Ricky Stark and Juice Robinson?
Yeah.
Doesn't scream major signing to me.
No, but at the same time, like, the fact that he came out to help someone that he is affiliated with makes sense.
Right. No, I mean, it's a good way that's like, oh, you've got the Bullet Club tie-in.
And also, like, do you really want to bring a guy like Jay White in to go toe-to-toe with MJF right now? I don't.
Well, no, I'm not saying he comes in against MJF.
Yeah, but I'm just saying if you put him up in that top tier, whereas if you kind of stick him where he is now, you have time to kind of, like, get him up there and almost in, like, a legitimate way of him coming in and, like, okay, well, I don't mind starting down here. It's not a problem. I'll mow through all these guys and slowly work my way up. Then you can say that I am undeniable. And that's the type of, like, that always felt like the type that he was, right? He kind of goes, you know, I'm Jay White. This is my era. Here is why. I beat this person. I beat this person. I beat this person. I beat this person. So I think it kind of works for what he's done already. And it's like, not everybody necessarily watches New Japan and knows who Jay White is. So why not start him kind of here and work his way up?
I mean, he is feuding with the guy now who just beat Chris Jericho. I mean, come on now. Starks just beat Jericho. It's a big angle. No.
That would make more sense to me. That would have more traction if two of his subordinates weren't in a comedy angle with the Acclaimed and talking about what makes their nipples hard. And your heavy being all about liking a bucket hat. Now, I'm not saying they all have to be serious, but I'm saying getting one over on the Jericho Appreciation Society really doesn't have an oomph behind it.
Not them, anyway.
So we've talked.
I mean,
go ahead.
In a group that big, you're gonna have a couple of you know,
Marty Jannetty's.
I was gonna say, like, lower level NWO characters.
So you're talking Scott Norton and Vincent.
No, I would not put Scott Norton in that echelon because Scott Norton was a beast.
In the NWO, and, though, he was. Come on.
I mean, no, he was a low level heater. Like, if you, and I mean, my memory could be wrong. I don't think he lost that often, but he also wasn't here that often. He spent a lot of time in Japan. I would say more along the lines of, like, Vincent and Buff Bagwell.
No, no, no. You just described Jake Hager. He's not always there. He doesn't really lose. And he's the heavy. That you just described Scott Norton and Jake Hager.
Yep. Well, you got me there. You got me there.
He's just not in Japan. He's just fighting in Bellator.
Is he, though?
Supposedly, he's trained.
I think he's still technically "quote unquote" undefeated.
Yeah, but like, when was the last time he fought?
All right, to the internets.
But that
at least with Norton, he was like competing on a regular basis in Japan.
Yeah, I guess. But still...
and he was smart. He was smart enough not to like a hat.
He was smart enough not to like a hat.
He has.
He was just tagged up with Buff Bagwell, who really liked a hat.
He did.
Okay, so Jake Hager His official record is 3-0 with one no contest.
Yeah,
his
but
last fight was October 29th, 2020.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's been 3-0 for like 3 years.
So what is he actually doing?
Liking that goddamn hat.
Besides stealing Tony Khan's money.
Remember when Jake Hager was the big signing for night one?
Yeah.
Was the big reveal, was Jake Hager signed with, you know, attacks Cody at the end of the night and signs with AEW. And now where is he?
Same spot he was 3 years ago. Just with the fancier hat.
But yeah, ultimately, I think Jay White made more sense in AEW. I think if WWE had gotten him, it would have been a little bit of a coup, but it also would have been a bigger hill to climb, I think, to introduce him.
Yeah.
Because I think some people would have looked at him and said, hey, look, it's Dollar Store Seth Rollins.
And also, he would have had to change his finisher, probably.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, really, Bray's still not around right now. I mean, he might be able to get away with it.
Yeah, but you get all those people who, like, only watch WWE, and the first time Jay White comes in and hits that, they'd be like, hey, why is he stealing Bray's move?
I mean, they could just do an angle where you sue to get the rights to a finisher.
But I don't, do you really think, Uncle Howdy is not an attorney.
You don't know that.
What is scarier than an attorney, Casey?
Two attorneys.
There you go. Just call Saul. It'll be fine. Just call Saul. He'll solve all your problems. There was another merger in wrestling this week. Swerve's group is now merged with another group, Brent.
QTV?
Okay.
For those of you who didn't watch Battle of the Belts or Rampage, Swerve Strickland has united with the Embassy of Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. I use the words Swerve Strickland has united with the Embassy because I really think this is the end of the Mogul affiliates, because we really haven't seen much of them. And when we have, I remember Parker Bardot pretty much getting worked on. He's supposed to be a heavy, just not there. All of a sudden, him getting released from NXT kind of makes a little more sense.
Well, I think it was... Didn't it make sense when it happened initially anyway?
Not if you listen to the internet.
No, the internet was like, this is the next Brock Lesnar, and you didn't give him a shot, really. What's going on? You completely dropped the ball. And now I think we're looking at Parker and going... Yeah, he's got some work to do.
Yeah, I mean, anytime I've seen him wrestle, I haven't been, like, super impressed. I haven't seen any next Brock Lesnar vibes. Not that he's a drizzling shits, he's no Brock Lesnar.
He needs experience.
I think he looks like Brock Lesnar. I don't think he moves like Brock Lesnar.
No, I don't think he does either.
The problem is, from everything I've gathered, Brock, amateur wrestler background. So he's used to moving in the ring. He's used to, you know, he's got, like, explosion. Parker's background, football.
I mean, there's explosion there, but a very different kind.
It's very good in short bursts.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is coming from being a lineman, and what was Parker Bardot in football? A lineman. So he's good at being a heavy, but the problem is he's good for about the time it takes for Shane to get blown up.
Yeah. The difference is, like, Brock is a heavy that moves like a running back. He's got speed.
When Brock debuted and you watched him, the scariest thing about him was he was a big guy that moved almost like a cruiserweight.
Yeah.
The fact that he could do the shooting star press, and I mean, not like a Bam Bam Bigelow moonsault style, or, you know, like a Vader moonsault, where it's like, it's a big guy, but it's kind of...
It's like a lumbering backflip? No.
Yeah, it's kind of clunky. No, Brock hit that shooting star press, like, when you watch him in OVW, and you're like, holy shit, he's getting hype!
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's like Evan Bourne, but it's really good.
Yeah.
Parker, on the other hand, I think he'd have a little bit of a problem with a cross body.
Maybe.
I just don't think he's good at leaving his feet. And therefore, and then there was, I think his name's Tretch, whatever, the tattooed, dreadlocked, no talk.
Oh, I thought it was braids. Not that it matters.
Whatever.
The other guy.
Yeah, the other dude who we saw like once before he had like, I don't know, visa issues or work issues or something or other. Yeah, it really just kind of limited mogul affiliates. And also it was one of those things of it just never really made like they came out, beat up Keith Lee and then just kind of sat around there and it just they never really did anything. And it just felt like Swerve took a huge step back.
Question.
Yeah.
Did we ever get Swerve and Lee in a match 1-on-1?
No. We got them in a Keith Lee came back and beat up people and I think maybe a tag match with Dustin.
Yeah.
Okay, so we never got the singles match.
Haven't got the singles match yet.
But how long ago did they break up?
Oh, they're still figuring out logistics, that's all.
Not
everything's perfect over there.
No. Because they broke up, then they got back together, break up again 3 weeks later, and it's been like 4 months. Okay. Hey, Keith Lee's wrestling on Wednesday, so we finally get to see him again. There's that. And the one other topic, Blackpool Combat Club is now heels?
Well, now all of them are heels.
Now, when Daniel Bryan came out, did anyone really think he was going to turn on his brothers and you know, go face for Kenny Omega?
For half a second, when his music came on, I did. And then I was like, oh. I was watching it live and like with my kid and he's like, what? I'm like, Daniel Bryan's gonna hit Kenny Omega. He's like, how do you know? I'm like, oh, I just know.
Wrestling instinct kicks in right here. Oh, I know what's coming. I know it.
Well, because for me, the entire build was before the MJF match, before the whole angle with MJF, what was Daniel Bryan?
What?
He was trending heel because he was roughing up his opponents. He was doing the whole, I have the 5 count. And I know that that's just like cocky Daniel Bryan, but the way he was engaging in the ring, the way he was doing stuff, was trending heelish. And then when he got that, you know, when he decided he was going to go towards that MJF, you needed him to play face because otherwise people were going to cheer MJF, and that's not what you wanted in this whole thing.
No.
So you had to, out of necessity, even though, from what I've gathered with AEW, they're like, we don't believe in the heel face thing, but in that kind of condition, you go, shit, we really need him to be a face in this situation. Damn it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, up until that time, the Blackpool Combat Club were skirting that line the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you've had Moxley just always being kind of a prick. I mean, it's just John Moxley. But yeah. It was like, he was being a little bit rough with people. He didn't do the full blown heel like he ended up doing with the night after he faced Paige. I'm sorry, the few days after he faced Paige. That first Wednesday.
Yeah.
But it was like you started to see a little bit of Cesaro. You started to see a little bit of Wheeler Yuta. By the way, nice to see that Wheeler Yuta actually has a personality now. I mean, before it was just like the little brother who tagged along.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's kind of what he was, though.
He was, but it's like, at least they were like, no, we're going to have him be a bit more of a dick and kind of establish himself some more. Good on you. But it's like, we started to see the Cesaro and Yuta go angry or go heelish. Then Moxley joined in. And so when Daniel Bryan was coming out, the second I heard the music, I was like, yeah, they're going to try and do the swerve. And it's exactly what they did. Because whenever that kind of situation happens, they did it in the meanest way possible, which is Bryan gets out there, challenges the other guys, tells them to back up, gets Kenny Omega up. Also, he can beat the shit out of him.
Classic.
Vintage
heel turn.
But it was like, okay, Bryan, he needed to step away. Again, he lost the match with MJF, and he didn't, I think, want to do just a straight heel turn immediately after, because I don't know, it would look a little petty in a sense of like, yeah, I lost the Iron Man match to MJF and screw it, now I'm gonna beat people up, because it would just be like, you tapped out.
Yep.
But at least now with Bryan, they have a mouthpiece, like a decent mouthpiece, because no offense to John Moxley, but his promos, even though they're emotional, aren't the greatest because he just repeats the same phrase about 4 times in 10 seconds.
Yeah, he tells you in 5 different ways about how he just wants to come up, kick your ass.
You want to beat me up? You want to beat me up? It's like, John, we don't need the redundancy. But the BCC, I think, will be... It'll be interesting to see what happens when you do have this actually dominant heel faction. You had it for a tiny bit with the Pinnacle before that ball got dropped. You had it with the Jericho, you know, with the Inner Circle / Jericho Appreciation, but it always felt like there was just something lacking, maybe, with that. With this, you've got four guys who legitimately just want to beat the high holy hell out of everybody. Doesn't yeah. matter who it is. Including actually busting open an executive, or manager, or announcer, whatever the hell he is.
Dallas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kenny's guy.
Yeah, when you legitimately busted open Don Callis, I was just like, well, I was going to be like, you guys just turned face. The fans are going to enjoy this. You did it wrong.
So what's the big cage match they do?
Blood and Guts.
Elite versus BCC Blood and Guts at some point?
Well, how long is Matt out for? He tore his pec?
But he's not doing surgery, he's doing other treatment?
Oh, okay, so it probably won't be as long as Cody.
No, he tore his bicep, not his pec.
Okay.
Let me see.
Either way, like, it's obviously not a tear that requires surgery, so it will be less time.
Yeah, so...
But that could... Less time could still be, like...
July?
Yeah.
A partially torn bicep.
So...
And I mean, well, how fast did Cena come back from his bicep?
Well,
I mean, that's John.
That's
John.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, like, his was fully torn.
And was, like, 4 months?
So if you take John Cena's superhuman timeline and apply that to a partial tear on a regular human, you're probably looking at 3 to 4 months.
Possibly.
Maybe. I just don't know if a partial tear is worse, because it's like with the full tear, you can just do the surgery, attach it, and be like, okay, it just needs to grow together. I don't know if the partial tear actually makes it longer, because it's you have to be more careful because it could fully tear.
I mean, and with how slow AEW plays storylines, as an example of Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland not fighting each other in a one-on-one match after 5 months.
Hey, you know what? Just like AEW, we circled back to kind of keep it in your memory.
It's well, I would assume that would be the direction, or was the direction probably at some point, because they have to get to their yearly one at some point.
Well, what comes after Forbidden Door?
We got All In London.
Followed by 1 week later, All Out.
Supposedly.
And so those were in August?
End of August.
August, September.
So you could almost, if you look at the timeline, like, Forbidden Door is in July.
June.
And that'll be about...
Forbidden Door
is June?
June 20-something.
Okay, well, that's still far enough out that could be around the time that you could have Matt come back.
And you can always... You can do Blood and Guts on TV as a special, because they usually do two big specials in July, August, whatever the two...
Well, my guess is... It probably won't be until August, because they're touring in Canada in July.
That doesn't mean they can rename a show, whatever they call it, because it's... what are the two ones they do, Brent? One was the
Fighter
Charity...
Fighter Fest. Fight for the Fallen.
Yeah, they can name one of them whatever there.
Yeah, I always just go with, like, nothing cool ever happens in Canada, or very
rarely do things
happen cool. Like, SmackDown hasn't been here in a decade, and suddenly they decided to have SmackDown hasn't been in Calgary in a decade, and they decided to add a SmackDown show in Calgary in August.
Interesting timing.
Well, yes, also, that's what everybody up here is saying.
The other thing is, so I understand what you're saying, Rock, about like, oh, you hype it up as one of those specials. Do you really want Blackpool Combat Club versus the Elite not to be on a pay-per-view?
Yeah, you can get away with on TV.
You could,
because
but
your bigger match is Kenny Bryan on pay-per-view. That's the bigger match. No offense to Mox or the ROH guys.
But we've already seen Kenny and Daniel.
When?
They had the when Bryan debuted, they had the hour-long Iron Man match that ended in a draw.
There you go! It ended in a draw! No one actually won. So you do that at Double or Nothing. That's what you do.
You know,
Or you do Blood and Guts in England, because you can push that as a big deal, and then have Brian Kenny at All Out.
See, I wouldn't do that for one simple reason. If you have Blood and Guts, people are going to get busted open. People are going to get hurt. And in my opinion, you wouldn't want to try and bank on a huge match like a Kenny Daniel redo. Put them in something like a double cage match and then be like, yep, we're going to get that big one next week. Because either A, it's going to have them pull back on the cage match, which will take away from that entire, or which will take away from that overall feel. Or B, you put that second match in jeopardy, because if Brian gets a concussion, like Anarchy in the Arena.
Ah, yes.
There goes your quote unquote, like, main event style match. And you're like, well, we're shit out of luck.
I don't understand why they're doing All Out to All In, or All In to All Out. I don't get the need.
It's to make England feel special.
It's to try and do that whole, like, we've crossed the pond and we're, you know, branching out. But you've already made the plans for All Out here in the U.S. and you can't pull back on that arena.
Oh, yes, you can.
I know you can, but the problem is like, do you want to piss that arena off? Do you want to get the double gate?
But you're now charging your audience $50 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, I get it.
I don't know if that's a successful strategy. Like, I would push All Out, or All In, no, All Out, yeah, All Out, the one in Chicago, back a few weeks. Just to, I don't know, save the consumer.
And to save your talent.
That too. That. But I think that's a good stopping point for us here tonight. Covered a lot. Got through a lot of things.
Just three guys riffing.
Yeah.
We did it. We went through it. We got it all done.
And not a blown quad in between the three of us.
Give it time.
Give it time.
One of us wasn't running to the ring.
We're still on an outro. You don't know what could happen.
One of us was hit repeatedly with a bat from a 3-year-old for over and over again today. In the leg. It could happen.
Yeah. It might feel like a Charlie horse.
It may. Who knows? I don't know. Anyway, they'll do it. For another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. As a reminder, the Rack is back on May 4th. Enjoy. We're going to come up with content to fill the gap. What? I don't know. We'll figure it out. Saturday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, it's Fortnite with Friends, followed by CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, maybe with a Tim, who's at Flames Forums on Twitter. Tweet him, llamas, according to Brent.
Llamas. Tons of llamas.
It's at Wild Talk Radio on Instagram and Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Go to youtube.com/RackRadioShow. Because I posted a short, go watch it, from our shenanigans last night. Go watch
Rock.
It.
Rock is an evil person.
It's on the TikToks as well, at WTR Live. But go look at the short, youtube.com/RockRadioShow. It's there. Enjoy the content. If you have that Amazon Prime link, Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. Click the purple rectangle button below the screen. Use credit card Rock Second Fortnite at AmShop. Hashtag my partner. Brent's on the Twitter.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at KaneKittens, where I usually have takes about things that may happen. Referees holding ladders. You never know. Just tune in there and you can see my ramblings.
Casey's on the socials.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at KyleDriver. I don't talk about people holding ladders. I mostly just push independent wrestling in my area. I also have a merch store on Redbubble. Links to that in the descriptions. Go take a peruse and make sure you send pictures of llamas and alpacas to Tim.
He's gonna kill me.
There's two commands in chat just for Casey.
I love it. Oh, speaking of which, someone came out with a Two Big Beefy Men Slapping Meat t-shirt.
Nice.
I saw it on the internet.
Nice.
That'll do it for WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll be back live next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Naughty denim and leather, call it chicken, whatever, son, they get better. I want smart cookie, the bet that smacks rookies. My stock's on top, your checks bounce while mine's boogie. Wrist, I must rock it, chicks, stop it, I knock it. Cash looks like I got a gang of fist in my pocket. Here comes the money. Fist in my pocket, fist in my pocket. Here comes the money. Money, 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 money. WildTalkRadio.com.